Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone.
WBR Fairfax Radio, you're on the Commons. I'm Sue Bartholomew. And joining us on the Commons today, we have one of the most energetic and effective activists, advocates, presidents, homeowner experts in the country with us today. President of the Florida-based Cyber Citizens for Justice, Jan Bergman. Jan, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure, Sue.
When I said that you are probably one of the hardest working, I wasn't kidding. One of the things that you've done, in addition to hosting a conference almost a year ago now, Jan, you've also been putting on town hall meetings, and I really, before we get started, I know that you have a whole lot that you want to talk about, but before we get to what you want to talk about, I want to find out what happened at the first of, three town hall meetings that you've got scheduled for this year?
Yes, we have three town hall meetings scheduled for this winter, and we have the first one in Punta Gorda in Port Charlotte. Was very successful. We had three state representatives on the panel, and the two local representatives, besides Julio Robina, who came from Miami all the way, said they were amazed how many people showed interest. On a Saturday afternoon, getting about 300 people to such a town hall meeting, it's just amazing. They were really impressed, and they said it's a sign that people really want changes and are interested in doing something for it. It was very good.
Well, I was going to say the 300 people weren't happy, 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 huh?
Actually, Julio asked who of the people present is happy about the association, and we saw one arm raised.
Out of 300?
Out of 300, yes.
Really?
And that guy, when asked, said, well, I guess I'm lucky because I live in a small community and we're doing our own things, but obviously it's not all as good as it sometimes sounds.
So it was sort of qualified.
It was an 18 home community, and obviously still neighborly was one of the main words used. That was still one of the communities where you bring your neighbor in need chicken soup instead of serving him a violation letter.
How dare they give associations such a bad name, Jan? Bringing chicken soup?
Still happens. You know, there's still some people there who consider the word neighborly as one of the main words in the dictionary.
Good heavens. Some of the worst, most horrible stories I've heard have come from some of the smallest associations with as little as four homes. So, just because it's small doesn't mean that it necessarily is good, because you can have some really bad stuff going on even in small associations.
Well, I knew a condo with four units, actually, and all four owners were fighting with each other because everybody wanted different changes and they couldn't agree on anything, and that didn't turn out too well. But that's a disadvantage of these associations and the system they've built here.
So we're saying that it doesn't matter how big it is or how small it is, you've got problems when you've got people who have different ideas of what they want and how they want to do things. And you had 300 people show up to the first of three town hall meetings. What was it they were looking for, Jan? And we're going to get into a whole lot of other reasons.
Well, they were mostly looking for HOA reform, because this year here in Florida, HOA reform is the number one issue on the legislative agenda. You have to see that, the area where we held the town hall meeting is not widely populated. There's no big city around or something like that. It's more or less communities and new built at the west coast of Florida, you know, not one of the fancy places. We will be in 2 weeks, we will be in South Miami, and we will be in the South Miami City Hall in the Chambers. And I can assure you, Miami will draw a lot of more people and interested people to the meeting than this. We actually have in 4 weeks the meeting in Boca Raton, and because the community halls are only holding up to 200 people, we had to rent a hall of Florida Atlantic University, a meeting hall, which will hold 600 people, because we are pretty sure that we will have a whole lot of people wanting to attend. Already the email and telephone interest is huge.
Already, huh?
Yep. And we are very pleased to say that as well, our legislators are very helpful and willing to attend and willing to listen, and it's a good thing. You know, the word gets around, and that helps.
Well, you know, I know you know this, but CAI has come up with a number of surveys and a number of press releases and a number of articles and saying that everybody is happy, happy, happy. That's just not coming across, is it, in real life?
It is not coming across when you turn on your TV channel in the news at 11 and you see another horror story about a homeowners association which is broke, where the homeowners got hit with a special assessment 2 weeks before Christmas. You know, there was one here in Orlando where the mother of three said, you know, I have either the chance to have my house leaned or to give my kids Christmas presents. Because they didn't give us notice, they told us when it was in 2 weeks to pay $1,500, and that's, you know, with our bad economy, that's kind of bad. And I tell you, it is getting worse.
We're going to be talking a little bit about that, but right now we're talking to Jan Bergman. Jan is president of the Florida-based Cyber Citizens for Justice, and Jan's been doing a whole lot of incredible things. And you have some thoughts. I mean, the economy's been hit all over the world. Associations, far from protecting property values, I mean, values in associations have plummeted just like anywhere else. In fact, more so.
They have actually plummeted more.
More so, okay.
Yes.
So you wanted to talk about the economy, and you wanted to talk a little bit about the effects the economy has on an association and what it means for the people who live in associations.
Well, you see, this is the main issue. The people who moved into these associations were told that these associations will protect their property values. All kinds of promises were being made. And as long as the economy was fine and the real estate market was good here in Florida, everything was more or less hunky-dory, besides the dictatorial boards and all these kind of things. Let's just go from the financial side of the deal. And it was very interesting, and I would like to start with a quote which was published this morning in the St. Petersburg Times, where attorney Alan Hirsch de Haan from the law firm of Beck and Polyakov was quoted after attending a membership meeting in one of the big communities in St. Petersburg, where they had to raise the maintenance due and levy a special assessment. And she said, people just have to understand that. You went into a full equity partnership with everybody who lives in this community, she said. As homeowners, you have to make it up. You're all partners in this business. I have barely ever seen a more pathetic quote from somebody. Because, to be very, very honest, people bought a home for the family. They didn't buy into a partnership, and they didn't buy into a business. And nobody told them that they will have to make up for financially irresponsible neighbors and have to more or less endanger their own financial security because their homes are collateral for bills created by the association. And I think that went far beyond the normal quotes, and it was, in my opinion, a clear sign that something is seriously wrong here. Because don't forget, Alan Hirsch de Haan is one of the attorneys who fight year for year against owner-friendly legislation in Tallahassee. So that makes it even worse.
For those out there who do not know this, Jan, CAI had an email list at one point. They also still have, but they exclude anyone who is not a member of CAI. They have a message board. I will never forget when I first got involved at the national level, a message, it was either an email in the email list or a message from one of the managers who was so obnoxious. I mean, it's sort of your quote, Ellen Hirsch de Haan's quote, sort of reminded me of that. Her comment was, "You are greedy and selfish. Your neighbors need the money. Go and get a loan. Do whatever you have to do, but get the money for your associations." It's like this is, you know, a child. You've got to keep feeding it no matter what. It doesn't matter what you give up. And if you don't have the money to just pour into this black hole, then you're selfish, you're greedy, you're insensitive, you're, you know, socially irresponsible. I mean, the list goes on and on and on.
Yeah, but see, the point is the actual greedy people are the attorneys.
Yeah, I know.
you know, because here comes the point. You know, the story went on. And they had to raise the dues because the extra amount of legal fees needed for collection. You know, here comes Alan Hirsch de Haan, tells the people, hey, you know, you have to pay for me because I'm the one who creates the legal bills and who sends out all these collection letters, which in many cases is even throwing good money after bad money, because most of these associations spend more in trying to collect the unpaid dues than they get back.
Right.
You know, and the only winners in this game are these attorneys, nobody else. There is no other winner, nobody else who profits from it. And we read all the time in the newspapers that attorneys are quoted, oh, you have to lien and foreclose really fast in order to gain money. Well, you gain nothing as an association, but you get an attorney's bill for $5,000 that, okay, we did all the foreclosure procedures. Here's the bill because we couldn't collect anything at foreclosure because there was an upside-down mortgage and no money to get. So here's a bill for $5,000, so please sign a check for it. You know, and that is bad business practice.
Well, you know, not only that, Jan, but even if you do collect money, what happens is you've got the hierarchy of payments. So let us say that you owe your association $100, and then they add on legal fees and fines, and they add on interest and late charges and collection costs and, you know, all of this. But if you look at how the payments are made when the money is collected, when some money is collected, the association is the last one to get paid. The first one to get paid is the damned attorney.
Right. And, you know, we had a case here in Florida where an HOA president resigned after getting the numbers for the financial year 2007-2008 and found out that when the board followed the advice of the attorney to foreclose, not only they ended up with $16,000 in the deficit, meaning they spent $16,000 more than they gained, no, on top of it, they ended up with two properties with huge mortgages, totally run down without any kind of resale value, but creating a big liability for the association. She said, I'm not continuing this. I'm not standing here as the president and continue this business, period. You know, this is how far it goes. People don't imagine what is going on in these associations. And, you know, I can never understand the people who still claim everything is hunky-dory. You know, these people either must wear blinders or plainly don't want to see reality.
They've got their head someplace. I don't know
where
it is.
Most likely in their bank accounts.
I wasn't thinking of their bank accounts. Their heads are someplace else.
I know what you mean, but we are here on the public talk show.
Thank you. No, but you're absolutely right. I mean, they sit there, it doesn't really matter what you say or how much evidence you have for them and how you show them that, you know, there is a serious problem here and it really needs to be fixed. You know, their heads are someplace else. They just don't see it. I don't think they're all stupid, but they just don't see it.
Well, see, here's the issue. In this country, you always need scapegoats, and you need always to have somebody to blame for all the problems but yourself. Now, don't forget, these same attorneys are the ones who created the laws, more or less. They were the ones who wrote the laws. And that are the laws we have to deal with today. You know, in former times, they fought side by side with bankers and mortgage companies and developers against the owners who were asking for owner-friendly legislation. Right. Now there is a problem, so they need a scapegoat. Guess what? It's the banks and the mortgage companies, because they don't pay and they foreclose and they were the ones who gave exotic mortgages and so on. Well, wake up. The attorneys were the ones who were in cahoots with them. You know, they talked boards into taking out high loans from banks, you know, for maintenance, for anything. This is what people need to pay for now. You know, they talked them into these bulk contracts. You know that these attorneys were in favor of these bulk contracts and even said so at meetings. You know, it saves you money. Why? How does it save you money if you're now paying for yourself, your own TV service, and the service of your three neighbors who don't pay any longer?
Yeah, this... you know, some of these associations have gotten so big. But this kind of goes back, Jan, to Hyatt's, you know, reinvented communities, and where he thinks that the association should be providing everything for you from the cradle to the grave. They'll have the hospitals. Do you want your association to be responsible for your medical care? I mean, that's in essence what he was talking about, you know, starting from medical care all the way up to the funeral. So
but now they want to change it. You know why? Because you have a lot of condominiums who supply water, who have one electric meter. You know, everything is paid by the association. And now they can't turn the water off for the people who don't pay. You know, for example, in European countries, every apartment has its own water meter. And if you don't pay your water bill, the water company will tell you what to do and not to do. You know, you go to shower in the neighbor's apartment or something like that. But, you know, here, now the association is responsible to pay for the full bill, meaning that the good people, meaning the financially responsible people, are now paying for some of the neighbors who were not responsible and are not paying anymore. And it was caused by the laws promoted by just these attorneys who now scream bloody murder and say, oh, the bad guys from the banks, now they have to pay. They're looking for another scapegoat. Excuse me, just having the banks pay more will not help the cause, because there are too many other problems in these associations. You know, there is mismanagement of money. It goes on and on and on. Embezzlement, clearly, where no state attorney will prosecute because it's a civil matter, according to them. Then you have a frivolous lawsuit, outrageous legal fees promoted by the attorneys who make the money out of it. You know, even a law which was supposed to prevent actually abuse of liens and foreclosures, creating a so-called 30-day time frame to send a certified letter to tell people if you don't pay or do anything about your unpaid dues within 30 days, then we will have to go after you. These letters are now written by attorneys who charge $300 and $400 for it, making it for the people who are in arrears even much worse to find the money to pay for it. And it ends that some of them default, not because they couldn't have come up with a $250 owed, but they couldn't come up with a $650 demanded, which was including the attorney's fees. And this has to stop, period. And just blaming one part, meaning the banks, for the downfall is wrong. We live in a bad time. We live in a bad economy. We have a non-existing real estate market. And there everybody has to give a little. It's not, oh, I will still make the money and even more, and everybody else has to fork over the money. That's not the way it works.
Jan, so far we've been talking about peripheral things. I want to peel the onion and I want to get right down to the absolute heart of it. I mean, pointing fingers, blaming, you know, blaming the banks, blaming the attorneys, blaming the delinquent homeowners, all of these are symptomatic of something much, much bigger or much smaller, and it goes down to the absolute heart of it. Can this form of housing work? In my opinion, that's the question we should be asking. Can this form of housing, you know, can it work? Will we get it up and running? I personally don't believe so. I think it's a failed experiment and it's not going anywhere.
It is a totally flawed experiment to the disadvantage of the homeowners, who now suffer badly, and we can kind of remedy the situation and try to improve it. But I think we should seriously think about stopping creating new associations, especially not with the system we're seeing now. It doesn't work. It causes great harm to the people. And it doesn't do any good. You know, look at it, you know, promoted were gated communities. Well, statistics from police departments tell you that gated communities are specifically targeted by the bad guys and don't help. You know,
no, they don't.
And people spend a lot of money for so-called security, which is only existing in their imagination.
That's true. And I mean, it's a perception that you're buying.
Right, and you know, there was 2-3 days ago a big article in another newspaper where a president complained badly that she is now up to the point where she really wants to foreclose on these neighbors who don't pay, because she had to pay $230 extra in order to fix the gate again to create the security they needed. You know, hey, you could have saved the $230 because it didn't add to any security you imagine.
One of the Florida papers a few years ago did a whole series on gated communities. And the upshot of the series was that crime in some cases was much higher behind the gates.
Yes.
That the gates really didn't keep the bad guys out.
No, I always claim they keep the good guys in.
I don't know. I mean, how good can you be if you're going to go and hide behind the gate?
What?
You know?
See, here comes the problem. People are sold false security, or the impression of security. People in these communities take less care of their own security of their house. They think, oh, security is there, so we don't need a security system in the house. And, you know, there is no police patrol in these associations because it's considered private. Right.
Contractual.
Right. See, in front of my house, I see 2-3 times a day, I see a police car driving by. But I'm outside of homeowners association. You know, inside, where as long as I lived inside a homeowners association, I only saw a police car, which was one of my neighbors who came home. But the regular patrol was non-existent. If we wanted it, we had to hire one extra. You know, this is all the downfall, and it doesn't help. And the bad guys know it, and they know that security inside these associations is much less. And, you know, you quickly get in. You claim to be the pizza guy or you name it. You know, the contractor during daytime. We had here in Orlando not too long ago a group of thieves in a community which was gated from 5 o'clock in the evening but open during daytime to let contractors in. And they came in as contractors and just broke the doors down. You know, just broke the front door down, period.
And just walked in.
Yeah, walked in, took everything with the trucks they had, and walked out. You know, the people came home from work in the evening and found their houses ransacked in a gated community.
Well, you know, there was a story about one of the communities, and I hate to use the word community, a development, a gated development, and they had a gate, and they had a guard, and they had all these mechanical gizmos and flashcards and remote keyless entry and all of that. But you know what they didn't have, Jan?
No.
They didn't have a fence. So once you walked in... So you could walk around the gate and get in. There was no fence to protect it. But there was a gate.
Yeah, why?
And there was a guard.
Right, and somebody made big money doing it.
Absolutely, they made big money doing it.
Yeah, and the people thought, oh, this is great. We have a guard, you know.
There's a gate. There's a guard. There's no fence, but that's okay. We don't need a fence.
Why do you need a fence? You know, that may look ugly. You know, we limit fences anyway within the community. You know, so why should we have a fence surrounding our development?
We don't need no stinking fences. We've got a gate and a guard.
Yes.
And we're good.
So, right.
Well, the other thing, too, if you ever watch TV and on the news, where they talk about some really heinous crime and finally the criminal is apprehended and, of course, the media ends up flocking to his neighborhood and they go to the neighbors and they say, Jan, did you know John Doe here? And you go, oh, yeah. And did you suspect that he was a criminal, a murderer, a child molester, a rapist, whatever, car thief, whatever? Oh, no, he was the nicest person on earth. He was so quiet and so polite, and he came home, and he left, and he didn't cause any problems, and he gave my kids, you know, Christmas presents, and he petted the dog every time he came. You know, these people live someplace, too. The criminals live someplace. They could be behind the gates, right alongside of all of you guys.
Yeah, well, but...
And here's another thing, Jan, as well. You know, we've, at least in some parts of the country, we've got this craze that we're going to rebuild everything in the new urbanist concept. New urbanism, pedestrian-friendly, walkable communities. You know, you've heard the buzzwords.
Yeah, well, but the question is, it all costs money.
But the thing is, Jan, you know, the crime is so much higher in these developments than it is where you live. No association, no gates, no sort of increased density, none of that.
In you know, isn't that the way it should be? I mean, why do you need a gate doesn't do anything good.
No.
You know, it costs a lot of money, and, you know, the results are zero zip nada. It doesn't scare anyone of the bad guys. It even attracts them. Because it says, oh, behind the gates, the houses are less secured than normal. And the only thing they bought into heaven until they wake up.
Yeah. And do they wake up?
Well, some people do, some people don't, because, you know, a lot of the people in this country, they don't want to rock the boat, you know, they rather sign another check for $250 and shut up, you know, maybe, you know, that's the last time and it will get better like they promised. You know, it goes on and on and on and on. And, you know, the problem is people now finally start waking up because their bank accounts are empty. But the demand for more money from these money pits called homeowners association, the demands are growing. You know, and we're far not over it. You know, we're always told, oh, you know, we reached the bottom. You know, now it goes back up and things like that. No, it's not. It will get next year a lot worse. Believe me.
So what's the answer, Jan? What are we going to do?
Well, what you're going to do is, you need to create laws which minimum try to protect what is still left to protect. You have to stop huge legal fees. You have to stop frivolous lawsuits. You have to stop the fact that some board members, and I'm not telling all board members are bad, but there are quite a few who just don't get it, meaning they don't have the necessary education to deal with the demands of being a board member, because don't forget, a lot of these associations are nowadays million-dollar businesses. You know, it's not that the treasurer deals with $25,000 a year. You know, there are associations, they deal with $2.5 million a year. And these people don't have the knowledge and the education to deal with it. And you see it all the time. They give contracts with huge down payments to contractors who don't even have a contractor's license.
So is the answer to hire professional board members? I mean, that's one of the things that's been suggested.
Well, I'm as well not in favor of it. I think we should downsize again and stop associations being responsible for all the kit and caboodle going with it. You know, you have nowadays, you move into these so-called new communities, and there are bulk contracts which more or less give you no choice. You have security, you have internet, you have telephone, you have TV, you have whatever. You know, all kinds of services which are coming with it, paid for with your so-called maintenance fees. This has to stop. You know, because if you don't have it included in the maintenance fees, the budget of an association goes down to amounts where even normal people without big business and knowledge can deal with it. You know, you can deal, everybody more or less can deal with a landscaper who comes mowing the common areas for $25,000 a year or something like that. You know, but dealing with a big issue of contracts which are worth $1.5 million a year, you know, that's too much. People don't know. You know, there are many people who mean well and who volunteer to be board members. They don't even know what's all coming at them.
Yeah. So we've sort of added so many different layers of services. What about the people who think this is wonderful? It's like living in a hotel. I don't have to worry about a thing. I just write one check. I get my TV delivered. I get my newspaper delivered. I get, you know, all of these things. I don't have to think about it.
Why? To be very honest, I get everything delivered I want without being part of a homeowners association. That's easy nowadays. But I can make my own choices. You know, I can get the TV company I want, which delivers the channels and the programs I want, and not what Mr. Board President wants, because he gets some promises on the side. You know, if you sign up with us, you know, you get this and this and
that's
that.
Right. That's right. That's right. There's a lot of kickbacks that go on, do you think?
Sure. You know, most of these bulk contracts deal with kickbacks one way or the other, mostly already by the developers who, at the beginning of developing the communities, sign contracts with providers for all kinds of services. And in my opinion, developers are told, okay, then we don't charge you, or, you know, we provide you all this so you can sell all the existing cable service and so on already as part of the deal, you know, improve your value. There's a lot of stuff going on. And, you know, you know you can never stop kickbacks, you know, but if you give less opportunities for kickbacks, you stop a lot of the nonsense.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, there are a lot of opportunities. That's one, but that's not the, you know.
You know the saying, opportunity makes thieves.
That's true. Yep.
You know, and the more opportunities you give, the more kickbacks you will create.
So, all right, so we strip TV, we strip newspaper, we strip internet, we strip all of these other services. What about the rest of it, Jan? Do we really need to have common areas? Do we really need to have a monument at the entrance that says this is Happy Homes from Hell? Do we need a common pool?
Well, we should make it mandatory to have signs at the entrance saying you're leaving the American zone. That would be a suggestion I would definitely vote in favor of.
Well, if you go to my website, we've actually got the little sign that says you're leaving the American zone.
Yeah, because it's the truth. Because, see, don't forget one thing. Most of the people who move in these associations are sold a bad bill of goods. You know, they're not being told what they really buy. They are not really told that their homes are collateral for stupid decisions of board members or camps or whatsoever. You know, you see now even more than ever, you know, despite the bad real estate market, you still see these screening committees in action, you know, and just a good week ago, you know, a guy in the mostly Jewish community told a potential buyer who had lots of money and wanted to pay good money for the condo, well, we don't really like Hispanics here. Welcome to the nice community. Well, the guy said, thank you very much, turned around, hired an attorney, and is now suing the community. And if he wins, and most likely he will, because he had witnesses to that, the association members will pay dearly for the stupid statement of this president.
Yeah, screening committees. I mean, I've heard of them in co-ops, mostly in New York City, but it would seem to me that those would be illegal. And again, I'm not an attorney, so I'm not giving legal advice, but wouldn't they violate the fair housing laws? I would think.
Well, they don't if you are halfway smart and not like this president who blurs out, we don't like Hispanics. You know, you can create guidelines, and you know, see, my point is these board members or screening committees are ill-equipped to really make the choices. You know, they rely on credit scores. You know, the credit score is more or less another thing built from imagination, because it more or less promotes the guy who has lots of debts claiming he's the best guy in the credit score. How can you go for it? You know, they don't have the resources to really look into criminal records, even if the computer nowadays helps. But here comes the point I had in another case. A guy was refused to buy the condo because he was convicted of a felony 10 years ago. But his civil rights were long restored, and the screening committee told him, sorry, we don't like criminals here. You know, well, hey, little he could say until the guy who wanted to sell the unit came up and said, well, I know three people who live here and who bought in here who are convicted felons, two even don't have their civil rights restored, and the screening committee had nothing against them, so how come? You know, this is the point. I think these screening committees are just another way to create lawsuits.
See,
and expensive lawsuits.
It would seem to me, Jan, that, you know, in Virginia we had a few co-ops, and co-ops typically have a board that can actually screen members, because you're not buying real estate in the traditional sense, but you're buying a share in a corporation. And they want to make sure, but the only thing that they were allowed to look into was the finances. Now, if you're not buying in a co-op where you're paying your share of the corporate mortgage, but if you buy into a condo or an HOA and you borrow the money from the bank is going to make sure that you have the money and you are able to repay that loan. They're not, you know, you don't need Harry Homeowner sitting over there next to Joe Schmuckatelli, who know diddly about any of this stuff, deciding whether or not you're financially capable of handling the association.
Well, and it shouldn't be there, period.
It shouldn't. I know. I absolutely know, because that's what they'd be limited to, is looking at the finances. Otherwise, you get into things like, gee, we don't like Mexicans, and therefore we're not going to let you move in here.
Well, and they say that, believe me.
Well, I know. You just told me about a case. That's why I'm repeating
it. Not just one case. We've seen it quite often here, and it repeats itself, and letting somebody like you move in here will destroy our lifestyle, and, you know, quotes like that show you that something is wrong, that the law even allows these screening committees to exist, you know, and what is even worse, and what backfires even more now, are all the restrictions these communities created on advice of their attorneys. Start with 55 plus, start with rental restriction, start with no pets, start with no visits from grandkids for longer than 2 days. You name it. You have all kinds of restrictions. And you know one thing in the bad real estate market that we have nowadays? Every little restriction removes a few people from the list of potential buyers. And the more restrictions you have, the less potential buyers you'll find. This is backfiring big time. You know, we have here in Florida these big 55-plus communities. They're old buildings. The newcomers who retire now, new to Florida, the few who are still coming, don't want to buy into these places because they're not always well-maintained, they're old, they have all kinds of restrictions, what you can and cannot do. It doesn't work. And, you know, in these 55-plus communities, you find here condominium units, they are going for $80,000, $100,000, $120,000. That are what are considered good starter apartments. You know, but starter apartments, that is a young family looking for a place to stay.
Right.
They can't stay in a 55-plus community. So these places stay empty. And now the old folks, and you know, some of these communities, when you're 85, you're the young chicken on the block there, you know, they complain all these places are empty. You know, I had a lady, you know, the husband died, and she wanted to move back to her kids up north and tried desperately to sell the unit in one of these big 55-plus communities. She more or less had to give it away.
Really?
Yes. And she was kind of lucky. She found a Canadian who wanted to buy it, you know, for, yeah, as a snowbird. But, you know, they have buyers from interested people, but they all were taken aback by all these restrictions because, you know, there were no pets and no rentals and no nothing. You know, in the bad real estate market, this all backfires.
Well, I was going to say, when you don't have, I mean, when houses sit on the market for months before you get a single looker, and then maybe it'll be another month or two before you get a nibble or an offer, and the offers are coming in really, really low, and then you have to go in front of screening committees.
You know, and you're happy to have a buyer, then comes a moron as a president and says, well, no, Hispanics destroy our lifestyle, we don't want you. And here goes your buyer you were looking for 8 months. You know, this is really a problem.
In the real world, you know, back in the American zone, you don't decide who, you know, some people might think it's a good idea. We want to be able to control who moves into the neighborhood. But, you know, that's unrealistic. You cannot control everything that does not belong to you.
Well, see, don't ever forget how these associations came to life.
No, I know.
They were created in order to keep people out.
Right, they were exclusionary, but the courts have already said that that's illegal, it's unconstitutional, the statutes have been amended or, you know, to say that they're illegal, so they can't do that anymore. Legally, they can't do that anymore.
Yeah, but see, legally, they can't do it anymore. Legally, you can't rob a bank, but if you don't get caught, you get away with it. You know, and that is the case. You know, I have heard from many people, you know, they treated me at the screening committee hearing like a piece of dirt. You know, do you think I wanted to still buy there? No, thank you very much. You know, they just leave. They take their down payment and leave. Bye-bye. You know, never to be heard of again in these communities, and they buy somewhere else. But the people who are desperate to sell can't get rid of it. You know, they can't sell the place. You know, we have, especially in these 55-plus communities, you know, you have a high rate of death, as you can imagine, you know, with that population. Then kids who live up north somewhere inherit these units. They quickly find out that they can't sell these places, and they just abandon them. You know, they're not on the deed yet. You know, they say, hey, look here, association, take it, shove it, get rid of it. I don't want to hear about it anymore. You know, and they just let it go.
So,
and you have another empty unit where the rest of the community pays for.
I was going to say, now you've got another situation where we're contributing to serve the deficit and the financial demise, basically, of an association.
Sure, and it goes on and on. You know, it's really getting bad. And on the other hand, you argue with people, you know, who live in these communities. Well, we want to protect our lifestyle. Well, hey, if you can afford it to pay for three units, please, then do. Yeah, you know, but then don't complain that your monthly fees are going up sky high, that you have to pay special assessments. You know, that's just not the way it works. Either you do it one way or the other. You know, and don't forget, especially in these communities, these people retired 20 years ago or 15 years ago. You know, their social security payments are not going up. They're not going increasing as fast as the cost of living. And many of them live on the brink of, how do I pay my bill? You know, can I just pay for my prescription drugs and things like that? Or do I have to pay my monthly homeowners association dues? You know, that's a bad choice.
Are they getting anything of value for their monthly homeowner association dues?
I don't think so. I think too much money is being used for, I don't want to call it stupid things, but frivolous things, you know. See, what you expect, you pay so-called, you know, they're considered maintenance dues, what you're paying, or maintenance fees, depending on who you are, right?
Yeah.
But what is it if 60% of the dues paid by the owners goes for legal fees and management? You know, how much is left to maintain? Little, barely anything. You know, that is the problem. You know, and if you don't have money, you have to cut back on services which don't give you anything.
Well, I mean, if you don't watch TV, why would you want to get all of this, you know, big thing? If you don't have a computer, why do you want to pay for internet connectivity? I mean, that seems totally, totally ridiculous.
It is, and you know, but don't forget one thing. A few years back, when the economy was good, and, you know, if you don't pay your dues, we foreclose on you, there were 10 people at the foreclosure sale who bought the place, right?
Right.
Okay. So these people who think these associations are great more or less had a reason to say, see, if you don't pay, here goes your house, so you better pay. Nowadays, they don't have that way anymore to blackmail you because people voluntarily walk away. They say, thank you. We don't want it any longer.
Yeah, they almost. Yeah, and we've got about 40 seconds here. But I just wanted to sort of talk a little bit about the upcoming town hall meetings again. How can people find out about them? Give us your website.
It's all noted on our website, which is www.ccfj.net. Caesar, Caesar, Fred, and Joe.net. You find it there, and I would like to get rid of one sentence. All we see now with a bad economy is what these associations really are. They are a money pit for financially responsible homeowners. And with that, I would like to close. Thank you for having me. It was fun, like always.
Jan, thank you so much. And thank you for all you do for everyone, because everything that you do in Florida sort of, you set an example for the rest of the country, and I do appreciate that a whole lot. Thank you for joining us today. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to Justice 4HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAINULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet. The writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos. Someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid. All your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone. United, we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine. And enjoy those precious golden years. Stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos. Someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.